Chapter 29. Sabina had driven along the south end of the strip, past the Riviera, the MGM Grand, and the Monte Carlo casinos, and had pulled into the parking lot of the Hilton Hotel, parking in a space near the exit. It was the biggest Hilton Hotel in the world, and was one of the biggest hotel and casino complexes in all of Las Vegas, and had the luxury of spreading out over its 80 acres of off-strip location. Just off Paradise Avenue to the east of the Strip, and next to the Las Vegas Convention Center and Country Club, it was a sprawling behemoth with over 3,000 rooms. The concrete Hilton sign at the foot of the hotel was the largest freestanding sign in the world. It stood tall and proud, small at the base and growing in size to an imposing fan shape at its peak. It was an emblem of the Hilton Empire and of the prowess of Las Vegas itself. Sabina locked her car, leaving her briefcase with the bomb in it and her shotgun in the trunk, and walked into the hotel. Inside, she went straight up to the nearest cash cage, and without flinching, she took $1,000 from her bag and $100 bills. The cashier quickly changed it for her and handed her 20 $50 chips, which Sabina picked up and took with her to the roulette tables. She walked up to the nearest table and sat down next to the croupier. She put her chips out on the table in front of her in two tall stacks that glistened as they reflected in the harsh bright lights. She easily had the most money at the table, and several of the men were watching her already, disgruntled at being upstaged and secretly wary of being humiliated by her.
$50 each on 6, 8, 10, 13, 17, and 23, and $200 on red,
she instructed the croupier, who took her chips and placed her bets. No more bets, he said, and then spun the roulette wheel. It spun round, and everyone looked in as the little white ball danced along the numbers, bouncing from one to another before it came to rest. The sound of the little white ball spinning around the roulette wheel was hypnotic, and was a sound that the players loved to hear. 32 red, the croupier pronounced to an ensuing chorus of disbelief. Sabina was the only winner. She collected her winnings gracefully, looking around at the multitude of envious eyes, and picked up the $200 winnings and the $200 from the red. Ladies and gentlemen, place your bets. The crowd hurriedly made their bets, although some were just watching Sabina rather than playing themselves.
$500 on black,
Sabina instructed the croupier again, who placed her chips on black. Last call, place your bets. The frantic commotion as the other players hurriedly made their bets quickly died down as they sat back and watched the ball. It rolled around the wheel for what felt like an eternity, jumping from number to number and color to color, before the wheel began to slow down and the ball could grab hold of one of the passing slots. For the time that the wheel was spinning, everyone was in it together, their hopes held in the balance of gravity, and they all shared the same optimism that just this one time it would land on their number. This shared silence of anticipation only lasted for the duration the wheel spun, and as soon as the ball dropped, it was gone, and the crowd of onlookers was divided again into winners and losers. 19 black, the croupier announced, and a small cheer went up from the end of the table from a man who'd bet on that number. He collected his winnings, albeit a little less gracefully than Sabina, who was the only other winner at the table. And then the croupier swept all the losing bets from the table, taking with it countless people's dashed hopes and dreams. Up the other end of the strip, Jack and Roy were walking out of the Golden Nugget Casino. Jack was pleased with his winnings and was glad to see he hadn't lost his touch on the tables. But as they stepped out into the night air, Roy turned to Jack and told him of the call he had received while he'd been cleaning up. It had been Werner. And he had some information for Jack. A number, to be precise. A cell number for Sabina. A full-scale search of the TMI offices had been carried out and had turned up little. But when Werner had delved a little deeper into the evidence recovered from the villa, he had found the number among all the files and evidence that had been recovered. He didn't know if it was old or new, or whether she'd used it or not, or if it was simply an abandoned idea. He hadn't even tried it, deciding it was too much of a risk. If it was, it could have caused Sabina to get rid of it, and so he passed on the information to Jack, who was in a much better position to make use of it. The government had kicked up a real fuss over the assault on the villa, and Werner had found himself in deep water for carrying out a covert assault. And he had only exacerbated that with the death of Agent Blocker. And in the aftermath, the government had taken control of the case away from him. He'd been suspended, pending an inquiry into the assault on the villa and the raid on the printing factory. And that was why it had taken so long for him to uncover what could be a vital tool in Sabina's capture. Roy passed on the number to Jack, who thought about calling it straight away. But he didn't, opting to store it in his phone instead. There was nothing he could do with it at the present time. Back at the Hilton, Sabina was winning big, and the crowd had begun to get behind her, cheering every time she won and yelling encouragement as the wheel spun. The group of onlookers and well-wishers was predominantly female, though, the man subdued at being upstaged by a female, and had decided to applaud politely rather than show any honesty. But as the crowd grew and their reactions grew more fervent, the security guards on the casino floor began to take notice. It was house policy for them to supervise any crowds that formed and to take a special interest in anyone whose winning was unusually regular. And Sabina's continued winning had certainly fallen into this latter category. The casinos attracted all sorts of people through their doors, most of whom had come to gamble, albeit for small stakes. Others were high rollers, real gamblers. Some were hookers and con artists and criminals of various skills and class. It was not uncommon for someone to win. It was a casino, after all. But it was uncommon for someone to sustain a win. Usually it meant someone was working the floor, or it was more serious than that, and the excited crowd was being used as a distraction for something else. Either way, whatever was going on warranted their attention. Two guards walked over, one surveying the people who were watching the roulette table, and the other watching the action on the table itself. Initially, nothing seemed untoward to either of them. "Place your bets," the croupier called, with one eye on the security guards behind the crowd.
$100 each on 6, 8, 10, 13, 17, 23, 27, and 30, and 500 on red,"
Sabina said calmly, pushing her chips forward towards the croupier. She played with a necklace around her neck as the croupier hurriedly placed all of her bets and then started the wheel, silence descending on the crowd as it spun. The ball dropped into the swirling mass of numbers and colors, and Sabina tugged on her necklace each time the ball bounced, nearly pulling it off in the process. She stood transfixed by the wheel, unaware of anything else going on around her when it was in motion. And she remained motionless watching it, oblivious to the security guards who were observing the table. The wheel spun around and seemed to take longer than it had on any other bet, swirling around and slowing gradually, bit by bit. This was to be Sabina's last bet. She had work to do and couldn't waste any more time. She looked at her watch. 10:15. It left her plenty of time to plant her bomb and get out of town. The wheel had slowed right down now to the point where the ball had to drop any second. And as Sabina and the crowd looked on, it dropped cleanly into red number 30, as if that was where it had been headed all along. A huge cheer went up as the croupier announced her win yet again. "That's $3,500 for the number and $500 for the color, miss." Sabina had won again, and she began collecting her chips amidst the whooping and cheering going on around her, an acute irony that pleased Sabina much more intently than the winning had done. She collected her chips, carefully putting $1,000 into her bag, and she was midway through picking up the rest of her winnings when she looked up and noticed the security guard for the first time. In a singular lapse of concentration, alarm bells started ringing in her head, and she grabbed a handful of chips and threw them into her bag, and it was then that the guard noticed. He did not recognize her from her photo, and did not even make the connection to the woman they had so keenly been instructed to look out for. But he knew that something wasn't right. Sabina looked back at the table and put the rest of the chips into her bag calmly and got up and began to walk away. She walked quickly through the crowd that was now dispersing, and she tried to mingle in with the rest of the gamblers on the casino floor. But the guard was on her tail and was following her. She walked more and more quickly, at the same time trying to appear innocent, but getting out of the casino as quickly as possible. "Hey, lady, wait up!" the guard called, and people around turned and looked at what was going on. But Sabina kept on walking. It was too far to the front entrance, but she'd seen an emergency exit to her left that was no more than 20 yards away, and she was heading for it. "Hey, lady, I said hold it right there!" Sabina began to run now, and the door was only a few feet away when the guard drew his gun. "I said hold it or I'll shoot!" the guard yelled, and a stunned silence fell over the casino floor. Sabina halted in her tracks and stopped still with her back facing the guard. In the same instant, she reached inside her coat and gripped her pistol tightly and then pulled it out slowly, holding it close to her chest so no one could see it. She began to turn around slowly when a waitress walked around the corner, completely unaware of the standoff taking place. The security guard was distracted for a split second, but it was all that Sabina needed, and she twisted round violently and let off a spray of bullets. Two hit the guard, spinning him like a top. The first hit him in the chest and the second in the head, and he dropped down to the floor dead. It was then that all hell broke loose. Women screamed, and suddenly the place was a frenzy as everyone ran for the exits. Gamblers and tourists and casino employees alike ran for their lives in a crazy dash towards the front of the building as more security guards showed up. And Sabina didn't hesitate for a moment. She picked up her bag from the ground by her feet and ran to the exit door, kicking it open in one go, tripping the casino's alarms instantly. And then she ran through it. Chapter 30. The floor of the casino had descended into panic as the gunshots rang out, and gamblers and staff were running for the exits. Croupiers and cashiers stood dumbfounded at their positions, unsure of what to do. But as the situation escalated, one by one they left their posts, and opportunists grabbed at the chips which lay sprawled and unattended on the now empty tables. Moments earlier, the floor had been alive with the hubbub of activity, the very essence of Vegas, alive and beating as gamblers went about their business. But now it had been violently interrupted, and the safe harmony had been shattered by the sounds of gunshots. The hotel security guards converged on the scene within seconds, trying to keep the situation under their control amongst the stampede towards the doors. One guard bent down and pressed his fingers against the neck of the guard who'd been shot to look for a pulse as people dashed past him. He ran his fingers across his colleague's neck, but he couldn't find anything, not even the faintest murmur of a heartbeat. And he turned around and shook his head. Sabina's deadly precision had killed him instantly, and he'd probably died before his body had even hit the floor. "Code Red!" the guard shouted into his walkie-talkie. "We have a situation on the casino floor. A security guard's been gunned down. I repeat, a guard has been gunned down on the casino floor. The shooter's female and has fled into emergency stairwell by block 3. "Stay where you are," the voice came back immediately. "Do not go after the shooter." James Branson was the head of the casino security, and he knew the moment the call came in who the shooter was. But he followed his orders not to try to capture Sabina. Instead, he ran straight to the security offices where he could follow her movements on the surveillance cameras which covered every square foot of the building. "Affirmative, 10-4, over," the guard hastily replied. As soon as Branson got to the control room, he took charge of the situation. The three shift officers were already trying to find her on the bank of monitors. She'd left the casino floor by the emergency stairwell, but had disappeared, and they flicked between cameras trying to locate her. One of the men panned across the cavernous casino floor in case she tried to get out by the front exit, chancing her luck that no one would see her amongst the hundreds of terrified fleeing people. But she was nowhere to be seen. Branson ordered the camera operators to split up and to take a floor each, hoping that Sabina wouldn't have gone any higher than the third floor. And they scoured the screens, looking for her. She could not have gone far, and it was unlikely she would have run up 4 flights of stairs. She wanted out of the building, that was for sure, and the further up she went, the further she would have been from any possible route of escape. And from their experience, they knew that it was difficult to hide from the cameras for long, her own agenda betraying her facelessness and marking her out from the crowd of the hotel's guests. As the 4 men stood looking at the grainy black-and-white screens, the panic that was enveloping the building became only too apparent. The ground floor was where the casino was, and the images being fed back from the multitude of cameras were filled with the hysterical stampede of people, blindly following one another in a panic-filled attempt to get to safety. The casino and hotel staff were unsure of what to do, at first trying to calm the situation, but then fearing for themselves as they realized what was taking place. On the higher floors, people were oblivious to what was happening below. But as Branson looked over the bank of monitors in the control room, the seriousness of the situation was all too apparent to him. Branson stood in front of the 60-plus screens, which by now were barely distinguishable from one another, each filled with frantic bodies running from one edge of the screen to the other. The photo of Sabina had been circulated to all the casinos and hotels in Vegas, and he knew instantly that that was who the shooter was, his years of experience and instinct informing him so, and he wasted no time calling it in. As his operators flicked from one screen to another, he picked up the phone off the wall and immediately called through to the Vegas Police Department. Jack and Roy had just got their car and were about to get in when the information reached them. Branson had informed the local cops, and once Nick Wolf at the CIA knew that Sabina had been spotted, he alerted Jack immediately. "This is CIA Control. We have a visual on Sabina Tlaib at the Hilton Hotel on the Strip. I repeat, Sabina Tlaib at the Hilton Hotel," he said. Jack and Roy wasted no time. "This is Wildy. We're on our way." They jumped into their car, Roy into the passenger seat and Jack behind the wheel, and sped off. They were at the opposite end of the Strip, towards the north and the center of the city, by the Las Vegas Expressway. But they made their way through the bustling traffic and covered the ground between them and Sabina quickly. The Hilton was 3 miles away from them, next door to the Las Vegas Country Club. But it felt closer, and as it inched nearer, they both knew it was going to be then or never. Jack dropped the radio onto the dashboard and gripped the wheel with both hands as he accelerated along South Las Vegas Boulevard into second gear and then third. He pushed the car to its limits and the engine roared as he tore up and down through the gears. Roy grabbed the red light, which rattled around the floor of the car by his feet, and then he leaned out his window and threw it onto the roof. It flashed into life and the siren wailed and the traffic, one by one, alerted to their presence, stopped and pulled up out of their way. The city was alive with people casually milling about with seemingly little intent, enjoying themselves in the freedom that Nevada allowed, but oblivious to the events unfolding around them. For all the freedom they were enjoying was compromised by the global terrorist prowling amongst them. They sped down the strip and pulled into the lot of the Hilton and skidded to a halt, Roy opening his door and almost stepping out before Jack had brought the car to a standstill. Such was his determination. The parking lot was chaotic as the casino's gamblers emptied out into the night in a frenzied state of panic, and the local cops who arrived on the scene were attempting to reinstate some form of order. Men and women were running about the place hysterically, and the cops were trying to group everyone together as best they could. All they knew was a security guard had been gunned down, so they were trying to seal off the casino and form a perimeter so the shooter could not walk away through the crowd. But as valiant as their efforts were, it was a futile cause. The hotel and casino complex was enormous, and they could not watch every exit, and it was nigh impossible to even watch the front. And it would have been easy for Sabina to have merely slipped away unnoticed into the darkness of the night. But with the security on her tail, she'd been chased further into the building, and now it was too late for such an easy escape. The CIA had gotten to the scene before Jack did, and had made sure all the exits were closed down and the building had been sealed off. No one could get out, and the only way in was through the front and past the multitude of police officers and cars, which now formed an impervious barricade. Jack could see towards the front of the hotel's entrance a group who looked to be in charge, and he walked up to them. We're federal officers. Who's in charge here? He asked over the wailing sirens, brandishing his ID in his hand. I am. Nick Wolf, CIA. So what's the situation here? A security guard was shot and killed by a female shooter in the casino. She's fled the scene, but is still inside the building, he answered. We have the building locked down now, and we're just about to go in. Right. We'll come with you, Jack stated. It wasn't up for debate. Do you have an ID on the shooter? The hotel manager, who was standing next to Wolf, spoke up. One of my guards confirmed the shooter was a female, and we suspect she's the same woman who you guys are after. You know, the one we were notified about. You suspect? Well, we can't find her in the building, but one of the guards said he thinks she was wearing a wig, so who else could it be? His tone was flustered and unsure, but it was all Jack needed to hear, to know he'd found her. Right, Jack said, taking charge of the situation. I need the local police to watch the perimeter, to make sure no one gets out. Now, sir, he said, talking to the manager again. Can you show my colleague where the control room is? The manager hurriedly replied and said he would show Roy where to go. Okay. All the exits are secured already, right? Again, the manager confirmed. What about the elevators? They're automatically shut down in case of emergency, but there are stairs to all the floors. Jack listened and thought for a moment, deciding what to do. Roy, I need you to be my eyes on this. Get to the control room and find where she is. She can't have got too far, and my guess is she won't be far from the ground. She'll be looking for a way out. Now I'm going to go in there and find her. I'm on it, Roy said, and he and the hotel manager hurried inside, the manager leading the way to the control room where his head of security was hunting through the building looking for Sabina. Right, now, Wolf, isn't it? I need you to support me here. I'm going to go in first, but I need you and your team to follow me. I don't want her slipping past anywhere, okay? Wolf stepped away and informed his men. They would take up positions inside the building, on the casino and hotel ground floors, and would floor by floor secure the building. Jack was ready. The hotel stood tall in front of him, as if it was a living, breathing entity in itself, pulsing with the flow of people streaming out the front doors. And he knew that somewhere trapped inside was Sabina. He checked his radio to be sure he could reach Roy, and then he and Wolf and his four men moved inside.